Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Happy weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to us on the radio or on the Odyssey app. Thank you so much. Mark Cox there. I'm Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman, our executive producer.
Rabbit.
Seems a little tired today, but that's okay.
It's April Fool's Day.
It's been a windy one. The Cardinals home opener. You've been drinking beer since Thursday, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. It started Thursday. Yeah, exactly.
On Sunday, if this is the day you're listening to it, we have plans to go to La Chance Winery Vineyards. And so we're going to go hang out there. So that's going to be the outdoors portion of the show today. And I'll get video of me drinking wine.
It's going to be a great weekend to be outdoors, wherever you're going, hiking or maybe shooting. Bo, your name got brought up the other day. I went to the Big Dog Poker Tournament, and while I didn't win, I was not a winner at the Big Dog Poker Tournament. I got knocked out relatively early. I was a winner back in the silent auction area, and of course, all the money raised, and you can remind us, how much money did we raise for the Eureka Police Officers Association?
It was over 60 grand in a day.
Part of that money,
that's a big day.
Part of that money was mine because I went back there and I bid on several silent auction items, but the only one that I won was the 1 year family membership to St. Louis Skeet and Trap. And it just so happens that my son is a much better shooter than I am when it comes to trap shooting. And I said, hey, listen, this is a great deal. This is a It's like $500 a year or something to be a member down there, family membership.
I think. It's a family deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a family?
Yeah. But for up to, I don't know if they have a number on it or not, but it's for your family. You can go down and shoot. And I won that, and I went and I took it down there this past weekend and claimed my membership. And my son and I went out there and shot. I sent you a picture of the two of us out there on the range.
And I appreciate you, and keep sending pictures like that of your weekend activities, because usually mine's either leaf blowing or log splitting. So you take care of the fun part of this. Anyway, go ahead.
I said to my boy, I'm like, hey, we need to get outside and do something. Let's either go shoot somewhere where you know, the outdoor range, of course, you can go to down there at the Hinges location off of 44, right, Missouri Department of Conservation down there. Or I said, why don't we go cash in my membership and do some trap shooting, which he always beats me at that. So he was very anxious to go down there. We had a great time. And they said, we're gonna do a member shoot on April 29th. We'd love for you guys to sign up for that. And we did. And your buddy Kyle has already signed up. And he told me that you go down there with Kyle on occasion, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been down there before. The cool thing about that place is it's so big. And if you are a novice, you are welcome. If you are an expert, just stay away from the novice. But let me ask you, when you talk about your boy, you say your boy, the picture I saw of you and your boy, how old is he?
He's a man.
I'm picturing 7.
He's a man, but he's always going to be my boy. Yes. He's 24 now. He'll be 25 in July. So he's getting up there. He's getting a little long in the tooth, isn't he, for me to call him a boy.
And I'll tell you what, but you're right. He'll always be your baby. The thing is, that experience right there that you guys had, of all the horrible headlines about guns in this past week, there are so many more people that are enjoying life. They are enjoying the shooting sports. You're going out and doing it. I'm not very good at it, but I do go out to that, and I love the place. And that's how you do it. You enjoy it. You get better at it. Maybe not you, but your son.
Thank you.
But there's so many positives to that particular sport. Are you gonna slam somebody that's into race car driving because there's accidents on the road? Of course not. You've got to do it safely and legally. Yeah. And It's just a mad world.
To your point on that, Bo, that's exactly it. As legal firearm owners, you get lumped in with the criminals for some reason. And I pointed this out on my show this week. Do you know how many fatalities there were? The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration keeps track of this. How many fatalities there were related to alcohol? I think 2020 or 2021 was the last full year that I saw the numbers for. It was almost 11,000 people died in this country, specifically from accidents that were credited to alcohol. Somebody was driving drunk, hit somebody else, caused an accident that took a life. Over 11,000 people in 2020 or 2021. And all that you can do is we've increased the drinking age. It's 21. We run promos on the TV telling people not to drink and drive, encouraging them to take Uber, to do all this other stuff. It's the person driving the car that is to blame for ignoring the law and drinking and getting behind the wheel. But there's never a call to ban cars in this country. There aren't lawsuits against Ford or Chevy or Toyota because somebody got drunk and got behind the wheel and misused that vehicle. Right. And yet, whenever there's a death or several deaths related to somebody misusing a handgun, the answer needs to be banning guns. It's ignorant. And I can't think of a better analogy to come up with than that. You don't blame the car when somebody drinks and drives and misuses it.
Right. Absolutely. That's a very good point and well articulated because, and I don't know. I don't know if there are, non-supporters of the Second Amendment that listen to this program, or maybe by accident they're listening to this program, but that is pretty basic education right there. You don't, like your famous line, you don't blame the fork for being fat. Although you could, but how far is that going to get you? It is about that, but just a sad story, especially at a school, there's children and so if I could reflect back to, when Biden walks out after, he's supposed to make comments about this, the things that he mentioned were ice cream, which kids love. He mentioned good looking kids, which was just kind of a weird comment to me. When any other president, anybody in the past would have walked out in a somber attitude because of the horrifying news they just learned. And this guy's out, like he's a stand-up comic. It was just, it was frightening. Was
inappropriate is what it was, for sure. Ugh. You know, whenever we talk about this story, the horrible shootings in Nashville, it gets back to the fact that it happened at a school, which is a soft target. There never seems to be a serious conversation about what can we do to prevent this the next time? The gun grabbers say, ban guns. Not realistic. Criminals steal That's guns, not. And then they use them for criminal purposes. What we need to do is harden those schools. We're going to talk to a former school resource officer who now happens to work at Gun Owners of America. Luis Valdez is going to join us when we return with more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors alongside Mark Cox. My name is Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman, our executive producer. Pew, pew. Putting this whole thing together, this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you are looking for a suppressor for a firearm, that is your number one silencer shop in the St. Louis metro area. They'll get you started and get it done to you and deliver it to you. You can go in and check them out. Find their address and more information at razorbackarmory.com when you go in, tell them Bo sent you. All right. Our guest right now, this sad, sad story that started the week off in Nashville, Tennessee, was horrible. There's been a lot of rhetoric. There's been a lot of political. I just made a word up. Political infighting going on. We've got Luis Valdez, a former school resource officer. And Luis was on our show not too awful long ago, and I don't think we knew this information, but you're a former school resource officer, but you are the national spokesman for Gun Owners of America. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, Luis. How are you?
Doing very good. Very good. How are you guys doing?
Good. You know, we had you on a few weeks ago, and we didn't realize that part of your resume was a former school resource officer. How come you're a former? Did you do your job and had to move on, wanted to move on to bigger things?
That was pretty much it. I was a cop for 15 years, and my father was a cop for 35 years, and the good Lord blessed me with a daughter, and basically I didn't want to put my kid through what I went through as a kid growing up, which was missing her birthdays and weekends and holidays and important events that my father sacrificed as a police officer. So it came to a very hard decision, but my family comes first.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is we bring up that fact that you were a school resource officer because so much of the focus of what happened, the tragedy that happened in Nashville, the loss of three precious children and three adults who worked at this Christian school at Covenant, a lot of the focus has been on the gun, but what we usually lose in these conversations is the fact that there was virtually no security at this building. The attacker knew that. It was a soft target, in other words. And we have this conversation every time this happens. We protect our federal buildings. We protect our post offices. We protect, so many things. Politicians with bodyguards and officers. We don't protect our schools. And as a school resource officer, I'm sure you can appreciate that as much as anyone.
Oh, you're darn right. We focus on protecting some things that aren't necessarily needed to be protected. I mean, our children are our most precious of resources. They're literally our future. And the police in Tennessee, they said it plain as day that she chose the school because it was a soft target. Now, I'm not trying to disparage my brothers and sisters in blue that wear the badge. I tip my hat to the Tennessee officers that responded. They responded as quickly as they could, and they took action to take out the trash as quickly as possible. But as we all know, it still took them 10 minutes to get there, which is far faster than we saw in Uvalde, Texas, and Parkland, Florida.
Of course.
But still, 10 minutes when seconds count. Police are minutes away. And I say this as a former SRO. Even when I was on campus and I pledged my life to literally give my life for the children I was entrusted to protect, it could still take me up to 3 minutes to get from one end of the campus to another. Now, one of the best things that we could do to harden our schools, other than physically hardening them, is to arm our teachers and staff. Is if we entrust these people to educate our children, to take care of our children, to, in some cases, medically provide care to our children, because, you know, we do have some special needs children that need round-the-clock care. Why don't we entrust them to protect them with a firearm?
You know what, Luis? By the way, Luis Valdez, the national spokesperson for Gun Owners of America, I had this thought this morning that, you know, when people say, oh, you know, we can't arm the teachers. Even if we arm the ones that were interested or were versed in firearms, not all of them, but even if there was, you know, a few, they would have a quicker response. So I wish that conversation wouldn't be so titillating that, oh, we want to arm every teacher out there. You know, Mrs. Johnson, the English teacher, you know, she knits on the weekends. She doesn't go to the gun range, but there are teachers that are interested that probably have a desire to do this, especially after seeing a headline like this. If we can't get the school resource officers on property full time, then I think there needs to be a conversation about, okay, if we were to allow teachers to carry, who would you be? Don't you think that would be a good avenue to go down?
I think it would be a fantastic avenue. And sadly, Parkland, Florida showed it. You had staff that used their bodies as human shields to protect children.
Happened here in St. Louis, too.
Yeah, if they were armed, they could have shot back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great point. And this week on my radio show here at Lewis, I picked up a soundbite that kind of went viral in Washington. There was a congressman up there named Jabal Bowman who started screaming at the media outside of in the halls of Congress near one of the doors. Ended up having an interaction with Congressman Thomas Massie, who was very calm through the whole thing, and tried to talk this guy off a cliff. But they seem to think that if they scream louder than you, they'll somehow convince you that you should do away with all guns. Listen to this soundbite.
Pressure them. Force them to respond to the question, why the hell won't you do anything to save America's children? And let them explain that all the way up until Election Day of 2024. They're freaking cowards. They're gutless. They're not here. I'm talking about gun violence.
You know, there's never been
a school shooting
in a school that allows teachers to carry.
Carry guns? More guns lead to more deaths.
Yeah. So Thomas Massie reminds him there's never been in a school shooting in a school where the teachers have been allowed to carry or they've got security. Jamal Bowman says, more guns lead to more death. This is the argument you hear from the left repeatedly on this, who seem to think that we're going to snap our fingers and 400 million guns in America are going to disappear overnight, instead of admitting that it's not the legal gun owners that are the problem.
You hit the nail right on the head. In terms of history, one of the greatest mass tragedies in America involving a school massacre didn't even involve a firearm. It involved a guy padlocking all of the exits to a school and then using a gallon of gasoline and a book of matches to burn the place down. The idea that bad people will stop doing bad things because we passed gun laws that restrict the law-abiding is criminally laughable. I mean, as we already discussed this previously, President Biden was in Monterey, California, pushing for universal background checks, an assault weapons ban, magazine capacity ban, the requirement to get a permit to purchase a firearm, so on and so forth. When California already had all of that on the books, and at no point has it stopped criminals from being criminals in California. And here in Congress, you have another leftist screaming the same thing because they cannot admit that their entire political religion of disarming the people has been proven to be false. They want to disarm us for one reason. It's not because they want to save the children. It's not because they want to make society safe. It's because they want us to make them reliant on them. If you look at history, every feudal lord in medieval times held power over the serfs, over the peasants that worked their fields, because the peasants were disarmed. And when the roving band of bandits and killers would approach the fields, you know, they would run to the king and the king would let them in their castle and they would protect them with the knights. Well, part of that was you had to work on the king's fields for life and you had to pay him in taxes. And that's what they want. They want the 21st century version of that now. And that's why they want to disarm us.
You know, we can learn a lot by memes that fly by on our social media or people that text stuff around. And one that was powerful to me was a rock in bad hands killed Abel, a rock in righteous hands killed Goliath. It's not about the rock, folks. And that was so powerful to me. And I wanted to quote that because my wife and I were talking about it, that the very first person born on the earth from Adam and Eve was Cain, and he was a murderer. And so that's how far back we have to look at evil, and that it's the person, it's not the tool that they're using to commit that, whether it's gasoline or rocks or guns. And there's so much enjoyment in firearms and the shooting sports. My buddy Mark here sent me a picture over the last weekend, two giant smiles on his face throughout a St. Louis Trap and Skeet. I think that's the name of the place. I mean, it's an enjoyable thing. And on top of that, it's a great benefit to protect others, people. I'm running for office.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, it's very true. Thank you for pointing that out. I did have a great time down there. You know, Louis, we got Louis Valdez with us, and he's with Gun Owners of America. Here's what people need to understand, and you pointed this out in one aspect of this, Louis. There are a group of people in this country who will tell you right now that they would do away with your Second Amendment rights if they could, while exercising their First Amendment rights, to tell you that. You try to restrict their First Amendment rights, and they're going to scream bloody murder, but they think it's okay that they can restrict your Second Amendment rights. I heard a guy named David Jolly. He used to be a Republican congressman. He's since left Congress, and he's since left his senses because he's no longer a member of the Republican Party, clearly. This is what he said this week about wanting to crush people like you and me. Listen.
The question around culture is something that ultimately we just have to crush the culture of gun ownership here in the United States, because we do have within the United States this culture that somehow gun ownership creates virulence and creates strength. But what it actually leads to is the death of children. I think it was Claire McCaskill yesterday or the day before who said maybe Democrats and those who sympathize with the Democratic position on this need to launch our own culture war. In the face of all the Republican culture wars around transgenderism and black and brown communities and wokeism, maybe the culture war in 2024 needs to be to crush the culture of gun violence in the United States and humiliate Republicans who continue to platform laws that allow the shootings we saw this week in Tennessee.
Yeah. First of all, it's criminal violence, not gun violence. But I would say my response to David Jolly would be, bring it.
My response to him is even more. It's just, look, as a member of the minority community myself, I'm a Hispanic. I'm a Cuban American. My wife is Puerto Rican. My wife is also black, for instance. One of the first dates we did was going to the gun range, and she loved
nice.
It.
That's but sexy. But
even more than that, the largest growing segment of new shooters and gun owners are blacks, Hispanics, and women. He literally just tipped his hand because he said black and brown culture, the assault on black. He wants to disarm the very people historically wanted to disarm. Last I checked, it was the KKK and Democrats that passed gun control all across the South to disarm freed blacks. It was out west that it was Democrats that passed gun control laws to disarm Chinese and Asian laborers. And it was up in the Northeast that it was Democrats that passed gun control to disarm all of the Eastern European immigrants and Southern European immigrants that were coming in. So he tipped his hand. He wants to disarm the very people that he claims he's fighting for and make them subservient to the state. I'm sorry. Last I checked, we're an egalitarian society where no man is king over me. And I get to protect myself, I get to protect my wife, and I get to protect my children from people like him. And him wanting to disarm me, no. And American culture is gun culture. We were founded on the belief that every person is equal, and part of that equality is every person is able to own and carry a firearm to defend themselves against tyranny, whether it's a vagabond, criminal scum on the streets, or it's the despot dictator in Washington, D.C. or overseas.
Well said.
Yep, absolutely. But from that soundbite that you just played, Mark, or Carl, I would say he wants to crush gun violence. I do, too. I don't want to see these headlines. But disarming America is not the way you're going to do it. Louis Valdez, spokesman for Gun Owners of America, thank you again so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and thanks for your service to this country in uniform, resource officer, all that. I think there's a lot more to go to this conversation, but we're running out of time. We will have you on again soon. How's that?
Thank you, gentlemen. And again, thanks for being a shining beacon of liberty in these dark and troubled times.
Well, GunOwners.org is the website you can go to and learn more about it.
Louis, thank you. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk more about what's going on down in Jefferson City. There's about 5 weeks left in the session. They're taking a close look at your Second Amendment rights as well. We'll talk to the Missouri Firearms Coalition right after this. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Cox. Bo Matthews along with me here, and of course, Carl Middleman. And we talk a lot about, whenever I talk to one of my friends who lives over in the People's Republic of Illinois, I always apologize to them and say, I'm so sorry. Because I feel like I feel like we live in liberty over here in Missouri when it comes to our gun rights compared to what they're constantly facing in the state of Illinois. And one reason for that is what's gone on in the Missouri legislature the last few years. SAPA was probably the crowning achievement of that when it comes to your freedoms, although there have been court cases and everything filed against that. But we have joining us this morning Jared Taylor, used to be with the Missouri House of Representatives from the 139th District, and he now does some work for the Missouri Firearms Coalition, and great to have him on Second Amendment Radio this morning. Jared, how are you?
I'm good. How are you all?
Doing well.
Thank
you
for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I wanted to ask you, the Second Amendment is under fire nationally, and oftentimes that fire is directed at Missouri because we stand up so strongly for the Second Amendment. What is your take, since sort of national headlines have stolen the narrative this week? Here we are in Washington listening to the president claim that he's pro-Second Amendment, but he wants to confiscate your firearms.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing from politicians all the time is, oh, I support the Second Amendment. I own a gun. But, there's always that but on the end of every time they say they're Second Amendment supporters when they want to take guns away. I mean, Democrats used to say, well, we don't want to do that. We don't want to take your guns away. We just want reasonable restrictions. We want to make it harder. We want to, do all these other things, but we don't want to take your guns away. Nobody's saying that they want to come in and take your AR-15 or your handgun. That's exactly what they're saying now. I mean, the sheet has been lifted. We know now who is running the thing, and they want to take guns away. That's exactly what they're trying to do.
And with that comment like that, anytime I hear a politician, no disrespect to our current guest, say something, it's usually the opposite of what they truly mean and truly believe. It is a fight that's going to continue till the end of time, I believe, unless the left wins and they somehow, I don't know how they could do it, but somehow, register or confiscate or something like that. What is Missouri Firearms Coalition doing right now? And in the conversations that you're having, maybe with the left, what are some things that come out that you think maybe that does make a little sense?
Well,
nothing.
I mean, as far as
absolutely nothing.
Thank you. I was thinking, I know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing. Nothing makes sense, right? I mean, the left wants you to believe that, this isn't that big of a deal. This isn't an infringement. But, look at red flag laws, for instance, something that we are doing in Jeff City right now. We're trying to make sure that the red flag laws aren't implemented. Joe Biden went through the budget last year, put in over $900 million to entice states to implement and enforce red flag laws. And so what we're doing in Missouri is we're trying to push back on that. We're saying, look, we're not going to do that in Missouri. We are going to make sure that our law enforcement isn't enforcing red flag laws, whether it's something that local municipalities come up with or something that the Biden administration comes up with. And so that's what we're doing. Why would we want, I don't think it's okay to take away someone's guns without having a conviction of a felony, which is what we've always said is the reason why you lose your Second Amendment rights. Now they're saying, well, we're going to come in and take those guns because we don't like you and we don't think you should have them, even though you haven't been convicted and you haven't even been charged of a crime.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Jared, I read this week that, and I've had Lincoln Huff on my program before last year. I can't remember what the issue was, but I did have him on. And, I challenged him on some things because in a lot of cases he was the Republican senator who was at odds with the conservative coalition last year in the Missouri Senate. And I read that this week he sided with Democrats against some common sense gun legislation. Do you have any details on that?
Yeah, I mean, so he did. So he sided with two of the most liberal Democrats in the Missouri Senate, and said they're going to try and block our anti-red flag law that Senator Bill Eigel has filed for us. And it killed the bill. It made it a 3-3 vote. So at this point right now, you know, that bill is dead in committee. We have other avenues, of course, through amendments or whatever from the House bill that's still moving that we could get that bill through the process. But he absolutely did. You know, and he even went further, though. It wasn't just that he voted against the bill because he thought that was a bad bill or you know, thought it was written poorly or whatever. He went further and basically said that, you know, we've gone too far. We've bastardized the Second Amendment. I mean, he's quoted in St. Louis news media of saying that we've gone too far, that we need common sense gun reform, basically. And you know, it's appalling that we've got a so-called Republican who ran on Second Amendment issues is now coming out and saying that we've gone too far, that we need some restrictions on the Second Amendment. It's insane. And Missouri gun owners need to be aware of what's going on in Jeff City, because it's Republicans like this that we could get red flag laws in Missouri, yeah, or we could have Second Amendment rights taken away. I mean, he goes as far as to say that constitutional carry should be restricted.
Jared Taylor is our guest from Missouri Firearms Coalition. Thinking about what happened on Monday in Nashville, what is the opinion of Missouri Firearms Coalition? And actually, not only just talking about arming teachers or, you know, some teachers, as I mentioned in the previous segment, what are we doing to actually move that ball in that direction? Because I personally think, you know, good people with guns are going to stop bad people with guns before anybody else. You can't have a law enforcement officer on every street corner, every neighborhood corner, every school at this point. How can we get Missouri Firearms Coalition to maybe talk about training some of these teachers that are interested in maybe doing this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are things that we've done in Missouri. So, for instance, we have the school protection officer. It's different than a school resource officer. It's actually a member or a faculty or staff of a school district that can go through training. It's several hours of training. I want to say it's maybe somewhere around 100 hours, maybe a little bit more than that. But they go through a standardized training. There's a company down here in the Springfield area that does it. That's amazing at what they do, but they train teachers and faculty to be able to carry while they're at school to protect their students if this need arises. Or in law, we also have the ability, they don't have to go through this training. They can carry in schools with the permission of the school board or the superintendent or the principal. Someone has to give them that permission. So we have those opportunities right now. And then also in the budget, we actually put some grants in place where schools could apply for these grants to send their teachers through some of these trainings. So we've done things in Missouri to make sure that we are protecting our students and allow them that opportunity, that faculty and staff to put those people in place. You know, in Nashville, that school that you know, was shot up last week or earlier this week, the head of the school, that Catherine Kuntz, I mean, she did an amazing job. She took her school through training, made sure that she got some of the top of the line. And I think that's why we saw, you know, unfortunately we had six that were shot and killed, but only six. I mean, the teachers did a fantastic job of making sure that they locked their doors, that they got their students out of the way. You know, one of the little girls, the 9-year-old Evelyn Dickhouse, she was the one that was trying to pull the fire alarm to warn other students. I mean, we have heroes in these situations. If we could only give them the tools necessary, if we could give Catherine, you know, she should have had the opportunity to defend her students with a firearm, that would have stopped that shooting immediately rather than waiting on law enforcement, which still took 15 minutes for them to arrive.
Yeah, it's true. Jared Taylor, our guest from the Missouri Firearms Coalition, former Missouri House member from the 139th District. This week, and I don't do this very often, in fact, I'm pretty proud that I haven't done this very much because I'm not a snowflake. I defriended two people on Facebook this week, and both of them basically put the same message up, and it was the message that said, when are they going to care more about their kids than their guns? First of all, you can't reason with somebody who takes that point of view. And secondly, in terms of protecting our schools, you know, I covered a lot. I'm talking a lot about the upcoming school board elections and how important it is for people to get out and vote, Jared, and get people with common sense on these school boards. I drive by a bunch of schools here in the greater St. Louis area that have AstroTurf on all of their football fields. They've been able to pass bond issues to spend money on things like that, but they poor mouth it when it comes to security, to hardening the schools, to building portals where there's only one entrance to the school and you have to enter and then be buzzed in to get through the bulletproof glass to get into the building, maybe to because if you have an SRO in the Missouri area, the school district is responsible for part of their salary, and they always poor mouth that as well. They need to make security more of a priority in our schools, and they just don't do it.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. Instead of focusing, on their resources like they have on these multi-million dollar sports facilities, maybe we should put a little bit of that money into hardening those schools and preventing these and sending their teachers through some of these training programs that are offered through Missouri. Let's put a focus on that instead of blaming an inanimate object. Let's do something about it.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, are there any updates from the legislative session before we run out of time here regarding attempts to weaken SAPA? I know there was a court decision against a portion of that law. Is there an effort underway to either vote on something different down in Jeff City right now?
There's always that threat. There's a concern that could happen. We're keeping a close eye on it with Missouri Firearms Coalition, making sure that doesn't happen. You know, right now the judge put a stay on his own order, so that bill, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, is still in effect.
Good.
And until we hear about it further from the Eighth Circuit will make their decision. But I have a feeling that it's going to stand. In fact, I think I told you on your show at some point whenever we were working on it that we expect this to go to the Supreme Court. And we expected to lose at the lower court, where we know that we have a less of an opportunity when we're going in front of an Obama-appointed liberal judge. I look forward to our chances. If you read anything that anybody, attorneys out there that are qualified on talking about anti-commandeering and the supremacy clause, they have said, Judge Napolitano the other day said that this is one of the biggest federalist challenges in his lifetime and maybe in decades. And so I'm excited about our opportunity, and I think we're going to move forward. But we do have to continue to watch to make sure that they don't try and weaken SAPA, that they don't try and make any changes. But right now that's not the case, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen with an amendment that's slipped into a bill.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Christian schools, the private schools, live a little bit of different laws than you do with public schools. And I would think more churches, like church services, have security in there to protect the congregants and the people that are going there. I think those private schools that are out there, kind of like the one in Nashville, maybe want to think about having some kind of a protection group that's there Monday through Friday with the kids, because again, you live on your own laws. You guys get tuition paid. You may have the resources to do that. Why wait on the government to do this in public schools and make that a law? When we're talking soft targets, churches, hospitals, things like that, I think it's necessary in this world of evil that we're living in right now. Jared?
Yeah, you're right. It's unfortunate what we saw in Nashville, but I think we should take away, evil exists in the world. And unfortunately, usually the places that are targeted are gun-free zones. And it's because these criminals, these madmen know that they can go to these places and not be stopped within a reasonable amount of time. They're going to be able to carry out their attack. It's going to take 15 minutes for law enforcement to arrive, and they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do for those 15 minutes.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we absolutely have to put teams in place. I mean, you know, that's why I'm on my safety and security team at our church. And that's why, you know, we do what we do at our church, because we want to make sure that our congregants are protected. That's exactly what other churches should do. Private schools should be doing this as well. It's a lot easier to do that. They already have that ability, but so do public schools. Let's protect these public schools by allowing these teachers who want to carry, who have the ability to carry, and who are trained to carry. Let's let them do that to be able to protect their students if this situation were to arise.
All right, Jared Taylor from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Keep up the good fight. For those of you that want more information, you want to get in that fight with them in a peaceful way, MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org. Thank you so much for joining us again on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, sir. Be safe.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to know that you got people like Jared up there working hard for us, and Aaron Dorr and the others, the Missouri Firearms Coalition.
It takes a village, to coin a phrase.
You had to bring up Hillary Clinton right at the end of the show.
Come I didn't. You brought her up. I brought up a. You've said it before, too.
I'm just kidding you, Bo. Thank you.
Okay, back to wine drinking. I'm sorry. What outdoor day drinking? That started with opening day, and it's going to go on through the weekend. I'm thinking.
It sure will. That's going to do it for this version of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.